We're going to read just one verse, 1 Peter chapter 3. We're going to read just verse 4. But let it be the hidden man of the heart, in that which is not corruptible, even the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God of great price. So we pray. Father, we pray now that thou wouldst open up to our hearts that which you want to teach us from your word. We thank you for this in Jesus' name. Amen. Developing a quiet spirit. I think there's one thing I noticed, perhaps you've noticed, in our nation that people are in a turmoil. There's a lot of turmoil, and sometimes I sit down and read the paper. By the time I get done, I wonder why I did it. I find myself in turmoil. These circumstances of our lives today seem to lend themselves to turmoil. Here God talks about something that in the sight of God is of great price. God here is trying to tell us that here is something that to him is very important and very special. Here is something that in the sight of God is of great value. And that is a quiet spirit. Tonight I'd like to have us consider, first of all, what is a quiet spirit? And then why it's so important? And then how I can get it. First of all, what is a quiet spirit? Now the meaning of the word is undisturbed or tranquil. Those of you who have just bought your new Strong's Concordance and want to know where it is, you'll find it number 2270 in your Greek dictionary part of your Strong's Concordance. And it's helpful, I think, as you read that through and you find that this word refers specifically to an undisturbed or tranquil spirit. The opposite of turmoil. And this very word occurs in several other places in Scripture, and we'd like to look at some of those places. One of the places that it occurs is right here in 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 4. A quiet spirit. Here in this particular portion, you remember from the context of 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 1, likewise ye wives. This particular portion refers to the wife having a quiet spirit in spite of the turmoil that perhaps her husband might tend to put into her heart. And the portion here speaks of the fact that a wife needs to have a quiet spirit, confident in God's leadership through her husband. And then it gives example. For example, in verse 5, it tells how Sarah trusted God through her husband. We studied this morning in Matthew chapter 2 how God revealed to Joseph that they should go down into Egypt, and Mary trusted God's leading through Joseph, her husband, and went with a tranquil spirit down into that foreign land of Egypt. A quiet, tranquil, undisturbed spirit by means of trusting her husband, not trusting him, but trusting God's leadership through him. Now this same word also occurs in 1 Thessalonians. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 11. Paul says, "For we hear that there are some which walk among you disorderly, working not at all, but are busybodies." Oh, I'm sorry, I got the wrong one, don't I? I was in 2 Thessalonians. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 11. Here we are. "And that ye study to be quiet, and to do your own business, and to work with your own hands as we commanded you. Now the word quiet here is that very same word that we found in 1 Peter, that ye study to be quiet. If we would make another rough translation of that verse, we could say, make it your goal. That's what study means. Make it your goal to be tranquil, to mind your own business and to work with your own hands. Here in the church, there were those who were stirring things up. And Paul encourages them to develop a quiet, tranquil spirit. And then the portion that I began reading in 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3 and verse 11. We find the same word again. 2 Thessalonians 3, 11 to 14. For we hear that there are some which walk among you disorderly or with turmoil, working not at all, but are busybodies. Now them that are such, we command and exhort by our Lord Jesus Christ, that with quietness they work and eat their own bread. Here we have the same word. With quietness, that they develop a quiet spirit. But ye brethren, be not weary in well-doing. If any man obey not our word by this epistle, note that man, have no company with him, that he may be ashamed. Paul here encourages them. Says, rather than obeying, submitting to the leadership of the church, they were stirring up turmoil. And Paul says, you must learn to develop a quiet spirit and learn to trust God's leading through those that he has placed over you in authority. Now, what do we learn then from these verses? As we read these verses, we begin to get a picture of what it is to lack a quiet spirit. So let's just chart this on the board here. A quiet spirit. First of all, the surface problem. What do we see when there is a lack of a quiet spirit? What is the evident demonstration of this? When there's the lack of the quiet spirit, we find that a person tends to be pushy and bossy, easily excited, yells at the children, for example, grumbles about the situation, grumbles about other people, grumbles about the way things are going, questions the decisions, questions the decisions of those that the Lord has placed over them, domineering. Type of person that things will go to pieces if I really don't take them into my own hands. Just some of the characteristics of the lack of a quiet spirit. These are the things that we see. What then is the surface cause? What's behind this? What makes the person act this way? The surface cause behind this is a combination of fear and worry that produces anxiety. And basically, anxiety is inner frustration over future uncertainties. Because of the uncertainty of the future, the person develops an inner frustration that stems from the fear and worry over the situation. Then what is the root problem? What's behind this? What's behind the fear and the worry? The root problem is a strong will strong will that produces resistance to authority. And so then the root cause, is failure to submit to God's chain of command. This then is the background behind the lack of a quiet spirit. This is what we see. This is what is behind it. This is what's producing it. And this is the scriptural problem, right down at the bottom. Failure to submit to God and to those that whom God has placed in authority over us. And so a definition then of a quiet spirit is the confidence that God is really the blessed controller of all things, and that God will use even the mistakes of those in authority over us to produce His character in us. Now, why then is a quiet spirit so important? What's the difference? Let's look up a few verses. First of all, in Isaiah chapter 30 and verse 15. Isaiah chapter 30 and verse 15. Why is a quiet spirit important? Isaiah 30:15, "For thus saith the Lord God, the Holy One of Israel, in returning in rest shall ye be saved. In quietness and in confidence shall be your strength." Notice that phrase, "in quietness and in confidence shall be your strength." God says the mark of a strong Christian is a quiet spirit. A quiet, confident spirit. That means that turmoil in my spirit indicates that I am not confident in God. Turmoil in my spirit indicates that I feel things are out of control. That I have no confidence in God who is controlling everything. And so I have then to be a strong Christian, I have to have a quiet spirit. Secondly, a quiet spirit is necessary if I'm going to have a ministry to others. Notice the portion we first read in 1 Peter regarding wives. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 1, Peter mentions that he is writing specifically to wives. And this is what he's writing to them. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 1, "Likewise, ye wives, be in subjection to your own husbands, that if any obey not the word, they also may without the word be won by the conversation of the wives." Peter here says that the wife is the key element in the salvation of her husband. And he said, a wife, by the kind of a spirit she has, the kind of spirit she develops, will be God's tool for winning her husband. Now, that means, and we see it constantly, that a husband will not respect the religious opinions of the wife unless he detects in her a quiet spirit. That's what Scripture tells us. And we see this confirmed constantly. Now, when we talk about this, sometimes the ladies get the idea that talking about a quiet spirit is a form of anti-women's lib argument. Now, that's not so. A quiet spirit is not something that a woman should fear or hate. Because a quiet spirit is God's special tool that He gives to a wife for producing spiritual growth in her husband. That means that if you really want to see your husband blossom right out into being the spiritual leader of your home, you must develop a quiet spirit. That's the only way. And God says here, that is what will do it. And that's the only thing that will do it. Because developing a quiet spirit gives us a ministry. And in this case, it gives the wife a ministry to her husband, in that she produces in him spiritual growth to the extent that she develops a quiet spirit. Now, this is true not just with the wife-husband relationship. This is true also in the parent-child relationship. Colossians chapter 5 and verse 21. Colossians chapter 5. Oops, I got the wrong one there, I bet. There's no Colossians 5. I think I meant Colossians 3. Right. Colossians chapter 3 and verse 21. Colossians 3:21. Fathers, provoke not your children to anger, lest they be discouraged. A quiet spirit is very important in a parent, or else he will discourage his children. Children will resent the instruction or correction from a parent that is not done in a quiet spirit. Because when the child does not sense the quiet spirit, when the child senses that the parent is upset, the child will feel very insecure. Now, they may submit, but they'll resent your counsel when they do not detect a quiet spirit. The fear that they develop towards you will not be the loving confidence that we desire. The fear of God, for example, is a loving confidence in him. And the fear that they develop toward us then will not be loving confidence, but it will be insecure resentment if there's not a quiet spirit in our dealings with them. As a result, the child will feel very uncomfortable around you, and he will go wild when you're not around. If there's a lack of a quiet spirit. Thirdly, a quiet spirit is important because a quiet spirit inspires confidence. Proverbs 17, verse 27. Proverbs 17, and verse 27. He that hath knowledge spareth his words, and a man of understanding is of an excellent spirit. And if you'll get out your Strong's Concordance and look up that word excellent, you'll find that it refers to a quiet spirit, a tranquil spirit. And now when people want help, they go to a person who has a quiet spirit. And if we want to help people, if you want to help people, you have to develop a quiet spirit, or they will not go to you for help. And so a quiet spirit is important because it is the basis for a real ministry with people. And as God blesses in your life and you want to be able to share that blessing, you'll find you'll have to develop a quiet spirit if you want to be able to help people. Then thirdly, how do I get a quiet spirit? If it's so important that I have it, then how do I get it? 1 Timothy chapter 2. In 1 Timothy chapter 2, the first two verses we find out how to get a quiet spirit. verses 1 and 2. I exhort, therefore, that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. Now here's our word quiet again, but I'm going to fool you. It isn't the word quiet. The very same word that we've been chasing down, the one we read in 1 Peter and the one we read in Thessalonians, is actually the word peaceable. That's the word, the very same word that is repeated in those other portions. The word peaceable. And here we're told that actually then it would be leading a quiet and a quiet life. But actually I think it'd be better translated a quiet and a tranquil life. How then can we develop a quiet, tranquil life? Well, God here tells us. He says the way that we develop a tranquil life, a quiet spirit, is first of all by praying for those who are over us in authority. Now let's take it back to the home, for example, for the wife. Maybe she doesn't, naturally speaking, have too much confidence in some of her husband's decisions. And so her tendency is, when he decides he's going to do something, is all of a sudden she begins to worry what's going to happen, or to fear the future if he takes that course of action. And all of a sudden she begins to feel anxiety in her heart, and it'll start coming out in that there will be insinuations, and she might try to get bossy, and she'll get excited and maybe grumbling about the decision he's making. And she's lost her quiet spirit. What does she do? Well, first of all, she just begins praying for her husband. Now, the particular mention here is for kings and those in authority. What do? I pick up the newspaper and I see the decisions that the politicians are making. And before you know it, I'm grumbling. I'm questioning their decisions. I'm all excited about it. And what do? I've lost my cool, my quiet, tranquil spirit. God says that what you do is you pray for those who are in authority over you. The first step towards a quiet spirit is to pray for those who are over you in authority and commit them to God and reaffirm before God your confidence in Him. Lord, I thank you that you are over those in authority and that I can trust you to work through them to do that which is best for developing Christ, a Christ-like spirit in my life. So the first step for getting a quiet spirit, for obtaining this quiet spirit, is praying for those who are over me in authority. So then, rather than putting my spirit in turmoil because of the decisions that are being made by those over me, whether it's the government or my employer or or your husband or your parents, I'm told to pray for them. And not only that, to thank God for them. Giving of thanks be made for all men. I need to thank God for them. I'm told to pray for them and to thank God for them. And verse 3 says that this is good and acceptable in the sight of God. This pleases God. God is pleased when, instead of giving way to anxiety, fear, and worry, I pray for those who are over me in authority, and I thank God for them. And then the result, God tells us in verse 4, who will have all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. What's the result? God then will use our quiet spirit to bring them to the knowledge of the truth. Now that means, unless I develop that quiet spirit by praying for them and thanking God for them, they will not come to the knowledge of the truth. Because the means by which God has ordained that they come to the knowledge of the truth is through my developing of a quiet spirit and being able, by God's grace, to trust God through them. To trust that God is going to cause them to make the decisions that are needed to produce Christ-likeness in my life. And so as I pray for him, God helps him. Say my boss, for example. As I pray for him, God helps him to make the decisions that are necessary for my life. And as I thank God for him, God enables me to accept the decisions that he then makes as being God's best for my life. That means then that basically we get right down to the bottom. A lack of a quiet spirit reveals rebellion against God. When I'm in turmoil, I'm in rebellion against God. And the evidence of my rebellion against God and his authority is the proof that I am not in subjection to the authority, that the human authority that he has placed over me. So when I feel that things are getting out of control and I can't trust God to work through those that he has placed over me, then my spirit gives way to fear, worry, and anxiety. The quietness and confidence disappears, and with it goes my spiritual strength and ministry. Now, a quiet voice is not necessarily a quiet spirit. You might say, well, some people are lucky. They're just so quiet spoken. They might be all chewed up inside and you don't even know it. A quiet voice is not necessarily a quiet spirit, because there can still be all kinds of fear and worry and anxiety. A quiet spirit can only come from complete submission to God through the authority that he has placed over us. And as we do this, God then does his work in that authority. This is how a wife can make her husband a spiritual leader. This is how children can even help their parents grow. And this is how citizens can be God's instrument in helping the leaders of the country. This is how people can of the church can help the leaders of the church. By developing a quiet spirit toward those who are over us in authority, God brings spiritual strength and growth to those who are in authority. And all we have to do is be willing to trust God. Do you think you can trust God? Well, it's easy to say, isn't it? Well, I trust God. Are you willing to trust God by being in subjection to the authorities that he's placed over you? That's where the real test comes. Will you trust God in a quiet spirit? A quiet spirit is a spirit that's able to trust God through the circumstances and the people and the authorities that he's placed over us. God then will use that spirit as his tool to work great things in that authority. Shall we pray? Father, we thank you tonight that although the natural tendency of our heart is turmoil, just like Peter looked at the waves, that's our tendency. We don't look to the Christ of the waves. And Father, we look at government. We look at employer. We look at husband, we look at parents as being a threat to us. And Father, you have ordained that these are the ways by which we can develop a quiet spirit, which in the sight of God is of great price. A spirit that will cause us to be strong, and that will give us a ministry. Father, we pray that tonight we might be willing to trust thee recognize that thou art the blessed controller of all the events in our lives. To recognize that, Father, that thou art able to use even the mistakes, tragic as we might think they are, even the mistakes of those who are, whom thou hast placed over us in authority. Thou art able to use even those mistakes to accomplish your purposes in our lives and to produce your character in us. So we thank you for this. We pray you teach us to pray for those who are in authority over us. Teach us to thank you for those who are in authority over us. To develop a quiet spirit toward them, and then have the joy of seeing thee do great things in their lives through our prayers and through our submission by the developing of a quiet spirit. We will praise thee for this in Jesus' name. Amen. We'd like to sing in closing number 282. Number 282, I am trusting thee, Lord Jesus, trusting only thee, trusting thee for full salvation, grave and free. Maybe you've never trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior. That's the first step. You really can't trust him for your daily life until you've trusted him for eternal life. There's that initial submission to him as your Lord, the Lord of your will, the throne of your life, before you can begin to trust him for the daily life that you live. If you've never trusted him as your full salvation, as your only hope of heaven, that's the first step. You'll go no further until you take that step. If you've never done this, maybe tonight God would have you do this. God would have you publicly acknowledge Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. If you'd like to do this, we'd invite you as we sing to slip out of your seat, come forward. We'd love to pray with you to make sure from the Scripture that you know tonight that Jesus Christ is your Lord and Savior. Maybe some other decision God wants you to make tonight. You make this as we sing, making him the Lord of your life and making him putting him on the throne of your daily decisions.